Hey everybody, this is Kyron Silva from Taurus Comics and one half of the Four Tales podcast. This is a little bit of an interesting episode. For some reason, we had some technical difficulties recording the episode, and in the middle of the show, we got disconnected twice. So you're going to hear some editing. I did my best to try and clean it up as much as possible, but bear with us, and we'll try to figure it out, and hopefully next week we'll be right back to normal. But until next week, enjoy the show. All right, fine. I'll be a gracious host. How you doing?
Little Mermaid is the scariest Disney movie by far, though.
Why the hell is Ace Blade in your Kickstarter?
Some comics. I'm getting controversial today. We're going to get controversial today with...
My proudest moment is this interview. And being able to talk to you two.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Taurus Comics, in collaboration with Fourth Wall Productions, respectfully brings to you the 106th episode of the Four Tales podcast. I am your host, Kyron Silva from Taurus Comics. Across the way is the purple proser of Ace Blade, Danny J. Quick, and together we are your two award-winning blurred comic creators here to help you find your next favorite comic. We are live on the Age of Geekdom Network via Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. So if you're listening or watching us live, thank you for your support. But don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and review this podcast because all your positive reviews and interactions help us reach a bigger audience. How you doing, brother?
Man, when I tell you, medication, mm-hmm. the people who make medication are worth every dime. When I tell you, listen, I always talk bad about like the pharmacy industry and all that stuff, but sheesh, like when you need some relief, it's definitely worth it, man. Like but I'm doing good, man. You know, I'm still dealing with the hernia. I actually went and saw the neurologist you know, this week, and they put me on some steroids, and they, you know, gave me some physical therapy stuff to do, and you know, trying to get through it, man. Trying to get through it. How you been doing?
I feel like I need a neurologist too. I pulled my neck muscle out, and you know, I can't move my head. So I've been sleeping in weird positions for the last like 4 days because I can't do anything. Like you said earlier, it sucks getting old. I'm just gonna say like that. If anybody's listening that's under the age of 35, don't go past 35 because it goes downhill quick.
It's like 35 is like the magical point. I don't know what it is, but bruh, it's
like one day you playing basketball and the next day you nursing sore knees just walking up the stairs.
Bro, I'm Army veteran, and I had some injuries, you know, but just randomly like wake up and be like, hey, my whole right side is hurting now. I don't know. I didn't even do anything yesterday. Why is my entire right side of my body hurting? I don't get it.
All right. Well, hopefully you feel better, man. I really do.
Yeah, no, man. I'm getting there. I'm in positive spirits. We finally did close down the studio. You know, on the 29th was the last day. Finally got everything out of there. And you know, it was kind of bittersweet, man. It was like I felt like the last episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You
remember? Sitting there in the living room by himself.
Yeah, we're just standing there like it really felt like that. But you know, we got some more things coming, and you know, I'm happy about it, and definitely excited to start these next couple of projects. So
well, you know what's happening right now though, right?
What?
Got the Bequest hardcover right there.
Got the Bequest hardcover, absolutely.
Hardcover going. I mean, you guys have been killing it. You're at almost $4,000.
Yeah,
3 weeks to go. So
slowly but surely, man. Like I always say, man. Me and Morgan, we always, you know, we're always anxious about Kickstarters because it's like, if it doesn't happen in the first 3-4 days, we're always like, what do we do? Like, what do we do? But this is a different kind of campaign. You know, it's a higher price point for our hardcover than, you know, normal comic books. So we know that the backers are going to be different. But, you know, we're getting there. Thankfully, the Kickstarter IG account actually posted our trailer. And you know, it gave us a boost yesterday. We got 3 or 4 backers just yesterday alone. So shout out to the team over at Kickstarter.
And you guys are going to be adding new rewards soon to the Kickstarter, right? That's my understanding.
Yep. Today I'm actually going to be adding some of the pages from the Ballad of Black Rose that you did to the campaign, as well as as well as some of the original pages from Ace Blade number 1 are going to be going up this weekend and this afternoon, actually. So stay tuned for that, man.
Okay, well, we got an amazing artist and publisher and printer on the show. Maybe we can figure out a way to get some of his artwork into the question.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick with this guy, though, man. I got a bone to pick with this guy.
Wait, how you gonna have a? He's our first West Coast guest in like a long time. You can't have a bone to pick with him.
Man, I got a bone to pick with Jason, man. This Jason is like the only person that I don't have an Ace Blade piece from, and I don't know why that is. Like, I need to get in the inbox. I need to get on the commission list immediately. That's something that we gotta fix before the end of this year, man. So, what's up, Jason? How you doing?
What's happening, y'all? How y'all doing? I like how the smoke is just like all over here, like immediately. I'm about to be in here like Cat Williams, like, well, hold on now, this ain't water here.
There's some creators.
Well, I will say, I'm waiting on you to pull the trigger on the Ace Blade cover, because I did a couple sketches for the Ace Blade cover. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep it real.
Well, Devon Stokes from Visually Stoked Media says, Jason, don't do it. Danny's going to have you selling his books at your conventions. But you already sell other people's books at your conventions anyway, so you'll be used to it.
I do something, you know, every now and then. Especially if I have something in the book, I will absolutely sell it. I'll put a print with it in a second and be like, yo, I did this. Y'all want to buy this?
Absolutely. Yeah, man. So artist, writer, a comic book printer, vending machine enthusiast, Photoshop master.
Black dude with glasses. So this is now
black dude with glasses. Black dude with glasses. You do some of everything, man, Jason. So for anybody in our audience who hasn't seen your work, give us a rundown of what you do as a creator, and you know, how you got started in the game.
Okay. My philosophy is that everything is comics, right? So when I wanted to be in the game, I've been messing with comics since I first discovered comics when I was 8 years old. Mm. My homeboy Mark, my homeboy Randall, we all collected comics. And shout out to Mark Lefwich, man. What's up, boy? I ain't heard from you in a minute. But Mark had X-Men Classics. He had like a ton of them, right? And these were the old Claremont ones. Claremont and the crew, because it wasn't just him by himself, who made these things what they were. But when I first opened up, I think it might have been the Hellfire Club X-Men Classic, with Wolverine going in on the Hellfire Club. Yeah. And I was like, John Byrne, Claremont, I was like, yo, this is what I want to do with my life. Literally. Like, some people are blessed to early find out what they want to do, and I was one of those people. And ever since, I've been tracing the pages of comic books, like, photocopy them, trace them, and sitting at my mom's table and just, like, doing my own thing. We used to, when I was in fifth grade, we used to battle behind comic books. We would draw our own 10-page comics or 5-page comics. And, like, my main rival was a dude named Michael. And I drew like, I don't know, I had like Wolverine versus Venom versus Spider-Man. And this dude came with Keaton Batman in the Batmobile versus, you know, Wolverine or whatever. He won that one. But, you know, he was dope. He was dope for a little fifth grade artist. But we used to go back and forth. And all through, up until high school, we would battle drawing comics. We created our own comic companies, you know what I'm saying, on the schoolyard. So I've been dealing with comics my entire life. I've always loved cartoons, Superman, Spider-Man, everything since I was a little baby. Mm. And superheroes have always been my thing. So it was just I don't know if it was a natural progression, but because there's bumps, man. Like 50 say in the Power song, man, like I never took a straight path nowhere. But at the same time, my love for comics has always been that. And every job or every menial job, vending machines, every business I've started has always been to get me to where I am today, right? Like if I'm doing concept art, to me it's comics. I find what I love about comics and I put it into that. Or if I'm doing an album cover, if I'm doing a book cover, or if I'm doing, like I've done, one time I had this job, it was the cover of a post-death, like a trapper keeper. I forget, I'm losing the word right here. It's like basically after your loved one dies, it's a list of things that you do for your loved one and you do to get everything in order. And the client hired me to do the cover of it.
Oh, wow.
And I literally drew and inked a cover for a post-death information book, basically. So, and I found comics in that. I find comics in everything I do, and it keeps me having a love for just work in the artistic world in general, right? So that is my thing to you, to the kids out there, to the little kids that's watching, baby. If you take what you love and pull that out of every job and make sure that all of those things are pushing you forward to your ultimate goal. Comics was always my ultimate goal. I never wanted to do anything else. Mm. I lied and told my daddy I wanted to be an archaeologist, but that was a lie.
I didn't hear that. That's not good.
That sounds good. That's one that sounds good to adults, I guess. I want to be an archaeologist. Nah, I want
to be a doctor or something crazy.
terrible, man. I like I said earlier, man, I learned in my research, we've been mutuals online for a long time, but I think that's the first time we've actually talked. And like I was going back through some of your videos and past interviews that you've done, and I was shocked to find out that you have a surprising origin with vending machines, like you were just saying about the vending machines. And, you know, that's something like me and you have in common, man. Like, I'm willing to do anything to, you know, to get to the comics. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is I'm doing in support to get to the comics, like the escape room that I had open, I was like, I'm going to find a way to infuse Ace Blade into this escape room so that I can, you know what I'm saying, so I can keep pushing the comics. So what is it though? Like, tell us about how you got started in vending machines. And I know, that you had, a surprising start with Hurricane Katrina and having to move out, I want to say to Portland and then to California, I believe. Right.
Yeah. I moved around a little bit. So 2005 was when I became a professional. I went to my first San Diego Comic-Con, and me and my homeboy, John, shout out to John, where you at, boy? We were bopping around there, trying to talk to every professional we could and show our portfolios. We had printed these comics, like our first comics that we ever printed professionally, cost so much money, like $2,500 for like I want to say like 100 copies or 200 copies a piece that we would never move. We were idiots, but still. we didn't know how to sell them. So we were bopping around there, and I met a lot of people that I still know to this day. And I met my mentor, who I didn't know was going to be my mentor at the time, Lee Moyer. And after the con came and went, and I came home, and literally like something like a week later, a few days later, Hurricane Katrina happened. Mm. And I had a harrowing journey. I was trapped. I used to work at a hotel. I was a night auditor, and we were stuck in the hotel for like a week after Hurricane Katrina. We saw the floodwaters rise. I saw my car get swallowed up by the water. It was crazy. We literally were trudging through water to try to get food from the convenience store across the street, like rationing hotel food. You could see like Continental Breakfast trying to make that last a week. And there were about maybe 40 people in the hotel, something like that, that were stranded with me and my family. So it was crazy. It was a little journey. I ended up going to jail at one point. Like there was some.
Wait, you can't just glaze over that. What happened?
So it's a long story, but short version is during Hurricane Katrina, a lot of the ills of New Orleans and Louisiana in general came out, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not like these things were hidden, but like I tell people always, New Orleans and Louisiana is a great place to visit. It's party town, Mardi Gras, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, the government there, corrupt. Mm-hmm. And New Orleans proper is substantially Black. But we don't control anything down there, right? Mm-hmm. New Orleans is a big hospitality town, but we don't own any of the hotels, right? So when Katrina happened, a lot of those things came out. I guess global stage that people weren't paying attention to. So when we were rescued from the hotel, we got out on airboats. They came, got us. They pulled us out. And then I had to walk and get into a military vehicle, and they brought us to this other, maybe 5, 6, 10 miles away to the place. It was called the Causeway. It was like off the interstate. And they had thousands of Black people sitting there in the August sun, languishing, while there was no food. FEMA couldn't get it together at the time. You can see news trucks reporting and filming us while we languished like slaves on the causeway. The police were like, emergency services, I guess, were like, here, some ice cream, no water in the heat. Here's some ice cream. And they had porta potties it was disgusting, the porta potty situation. And people's parents, like elderly parents, a couple people almost died out there. Mm-hmm. And then when it was time to try to take us out, they had these school buses come in, and we all would rush to the school buses, and the police would be laughing because it's hilarious to see Black people try to escape danger.
Wow.
They walking around with bandoliers. This police force is notorious for racism, notorious for just messing over the communities in New Orleans, in Jefferson Parish. And the one that Steven Seagal worked for, those guys.
Right.
Worked for.
That's all you have to say.
So anyway, they were having a great time while we were trying to escape the natural disaster. And it imparted a lot of serious stuff on me. Like, I broke during the situation. And when they were taking us out, I finally had gotten on a school bus, and it was the middle of the night, and it felt like a slave movie, because they had the dogs out there and they were searching the bus to make sure that, I don't know, I guess people who were escaping weren't evil or weren't trying to do, I don't know what the hell they had the dogs out there for, but I felt like a damn Negro slave. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like, man, what are they doing at 3 a.m. searching the buses? Let us go, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, we get out of New Orleans proper. They take us to Lafayette, and there were rumors that someone had a gun on one of these buses. Me and my homie LaVon, who was with me, and his uncle exited one of the buses at the time to stretch our legs in Lafayette. We get back on the bus, and it was a different bus they told us to get on. Mm-hmm. It was chaos out there. So when we got on the new bus to I guess we were trying to get to like Texas or somewhere out of the way of the storm. Mm-hmm. Everybody on the bus was pissed because there was nowhere to sit. We were walking around with whatever we had with us. And when the police stopped the bus because there was concern that people had buses, we were the new guys on the bus. Mm-hmm. So they pointed at us. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm from New Orleans. I grew up in thug culture. My daddy was a drug dealer. Some of my brothers too. So I'm not new to running the streets or that, but I never sold drugs. I never carried a gun. Mm-hmm. I've always been scared of that kind of stuff. When the police took us off that bus, what I had with me were my PlayStation and comic pages I was working on.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm about. And because there was so much chaos out there, those disgusting ass police officers brought me and my homie to jail, and we spent a week in jail.
Gee.
And the charges were inciting a riot.
The hell?
And possession of a weapon.
Your comic pages and a weapon?
I've never owned a gun in my life, legally or illegally, hey, but they kept me in jail for a week for that. I should have sued them,
those pages,
but I
didn't have no fire for you to be considered a weapon, dude.
They say the pen is mightier than the sword, man. That them pages must have been heat for real.
Fire. No, they were not fire.
Man, no,
it was literally my first job. I didn't make no money off it. I eventually the pages did get published, mm-hmm, in some minuscule way, but it was a terrible situation. Mm-hmm. So I ended up in jail after Hurricane Katrina for a week.
Yeah, I'm with Kenji, man. I want that book just like hearing the story of like you literally carrying pages on you, escaping a hurricane, escaping a natural disaster, and still trying to create. I want that book. I don't care what the pages look like. I want that book just to kind of connect with that story, man. That's crazy. What was that story, by the way?
It was a book called Blood and Silver by Q Publishing. It's a werewolf book. And it might be a little hard to find. I think I can find it and send it to you.
Oh, you don't know Kyron. You don't know Kyron. Kyron will find
it. I'll find it.
I think it's a 6-issue series, but I did the first three and all the covers for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's QEW Publishing.
Yeah, that's all we needed. That's all we needed right there. QEW.
Yeah. So that was a harrowing journey.
Man.
Worst 2 weeks of my life.
No, I can only imagine, man. Like the whole situation with New Orleans, like I don't even remember how old I was then, but I know I was super young, and I think I had just gotten into the military when all that happened, and like it's an eye opening experience even from outside, but it's, like hearing you talk about like having to go through it is just a whole nother level, man. So, you know, like I said, man, I'm sorry to hear that you had to go through it, but you know. The connection that you have with comic books, I can tell, you know, runs deep, man. So, from the origin to now, like I can only imagine like the strides that you've made and the how serious you take making comics. I once heard you talk about the creation of Kid Carvers, and how I believe you were at a comic book show, and you know, you had stuff for the adults, but the kids were like, hey, what's for us? You know what I'm saying? And can you talk about how, you know, you just want to make things for everybody?
Yeah. Man. So especially now being a father, I see how important that really was and that really is. And, you know, the kids want stuff too, man. And we get, I think as when I'm speaking about comics, I'm mostly speaking about our little corner of it. You know what I'm saying? Black comics with the X, mm-hmm. like us. So, you know, take whatever with a grain of salt. But we get caught up wanting to do our thing, right? Like for me, excuse me, it was always superheroes, One mm-hmm. Nation, mm-hmm. a little political bent, whatever, saving the world, blah, blah. But seeing those kids at the table, they want their thing too, and they deserve their thing too. And they're going to come up behind us. So it would behoove us to not necessarily intentionally inspire them, because that feels kind of mm-hmm. feels kind of lofty. But at the same time, like when I was 8, I wanted stuff for me too. Nah, you know, I was always into like the violence and stuff like that. But I don't want to necessarily put that on the little 8-year-olds that be at the table. So we created Kid Carvers. It's still action adventure. Mm-hmm. It's just not as tense as I would make it for myself. Mm-hmm. But no, they definitely, we definitely need to keep an eye toward them as we're making books. Also, I've been telling my other homies, yo, you want another go-to when people might not dig your main thing, right? Mm-hmm. Or I don't want to sell One Nation to a young, to a person, to a kid my son's age, right? He's not really super into that. I got cussing in One Nation. Like, he's not into all that. He's not into people slicing with swords or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I have another go-to. We have Pac Samson. We have Kid Carvers. And it helps you to make sure you touch all bases. It helps you to make more sales, because that is important. I know we kind of shy away from that a little bit, but I like to keep it on Front Street. In order for us to keep doing this, you need sales. So you gotta have different go-tos. And that's what I'm, at least at this 2024 round of shows, when I talk to the homies, I'm like, yo, you gotta have the go-tos, baby. If they mm-hmm. don't like One Nation, they got to go to Kid Carvers. If they don't like Kid Carvers, we hit them with PAX. If they don't like PAX, we hit them with Redcon. Have some go-tos. You know what I'm saying?
You preached to me.
You and we were talking to Matt about that, right? We were having a discussion about that. And I was like, yo, you got to have go-tos, baby. Like,
he was preaching to me at Black Comics Day last month about me not having enough floppies on my table. And I had trades, and he's like, "You don't got no floppies?" I was like, "No, nah, people buy the trades." And he's like, "You want those people that say it?"
I'm a contrarian. I'm a contrarian when it comes to that, the notion that people only buy trades, because I sell mad floppies, and maybe that's anecdotal, but I still feel like people will buy floppies. I feel like I'm one of the guys that believe that, like, I think it was Rick Rubin that was saying this a short while back, that the audience doesn't necessarily know what they want until the artist gives it to them, and then they make the decision for themselves. And I'm not a huge believer in following the trends or what people say. I'm like, I make floppies. It's cost effective to do so. I'm serving you these floppies. Now, if I got to give you a print with it to make it move, then I'm going to do that. But, I do bundles. I do collect them things. So you can get the first arc of One Nation and a print, you know, for $25. And I make it, you know, an offer you can't refuse. You know, okay, you want to binge read all this. You're just going to do it in floppy form. It's the same thing. Really? Like, it's concise and efficient in a trade, and we're going to sell trades. We do. I mean, Pack Sampson is 200 pages. It's one volume. But if, especially with Black comics, talking about our corner again, what's cost effective for you is important, because you got to make money at this, baby. So if you can get trades in a cost effective manner, do that. But if you can't, and run them floppies, run them. Don't listen to people. Do you?
Now in the chat agrees. A couple people in the chat saying that floppies do sell, and they do. I have a bunch of floppies. But I also know that.
Well, me a floppy.
Hey, I sold a door-to-door salesman a floppy once, all right?
Right.
Jason is killing us. I'm about to make a t-shirt that says run them floppies. And earlier he said everything is comics. I'm about to make two t-shirts. So everything is comics and run them floppies. I'm making it.
And I'm gonna buy them too. I'm gonna buy them shirts. You heard it here first. I'll be the first one to buy them shirts. I'll wear that. True.
All right, well, we have a little bit of time before we get into quick takes, but I do want to ask you, 133 art, and I couldn't find this anywhere, but what does 133 art mean to you?
Oh, man, y'all going to be so disappointed. Like I was telling Karama a while back when we did that interview, 133 art, now it means something dope. Now when I see 133, I'm like, yo, that's me. But it didn't mean anything when I created it, other than the fact that I needed a name for the company. A lot of times with this kind of thing, like naming things, I go off my gut. And my gut was telling me, you don't got no ideas. And I was like, well, what can I do, gut? And I was like, your email is jreeves1333, why not do that? And so Hotmail dictated what my company is called. Hey. And I'm fine with it. Yo, it's a funny story in the sense of people be thinking things mean things, and not all the time, man. When you're a businessman, sometimes you just gotta go.
Yeah.
And so 133 art means a lot to me now, but really Hotmail dictated the 133. Art is the important part, I guess.
So what you're saying
and make a logo.
So Bill Gates created 133 art, what you're saying.
No, man. I love that, because I'll tell you something that just happened recently. My first email address was djtrunks2@yahoo.com, right? And DJ, because my name is Danny J. Trunks, because Trunks was my favorite comic book, my favorite character at the time. My favorite Dragon Ball Z character is Trunks. And my favorite number is 2, right? But now I'm 38, and my son now has taken DJ Trunks and made it his TikTok handle. Like, so now my son is DJ Trunks. I'm like, yo, how did that even happen? Like, I didn't even realize that he knew. He knew that, and just something crazy like, okay, I'm just putting together my first email address. And now, like, my son is like, hey, I like that. I like DJ Trunks. I'm taking it. I'm like, okay.
I've never had to deal with that, with having a unique name. I've never had to deal with numbers in my email, so I'm happy about that now.
That's true. Like, man, you're the first Kyron I've ever met.
There's not a lot of us out there.
They are? Okay.
There's a couple.
Okay. But yeah, I imagine you don't have to put numbers in your thing. Yeah. No, man, like we're all drawing from the same well, I believe, you know. And some of that stuff is providential. And I like to leave space for that to happen. Like, definitely. I like processes and science and business and intellectualism, but at the same time, like spirituality, providence, all that stuff, all of that is working together to form whatever this life is, man. So sometimes you got to let it happen.
Just let it happen. That's how I like. Yeah. Just let it happen. That's t-shirt number 3. Just let it happen.
Man. Well, I think this is a good time to let quick takes happen. Okay. Before Danny's back gives out on it.
Hey, you see me moving side to side. I'm trying to keep it loose.
Right.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Let's go.
I gotta find it.
All right. Quick takes with brother Jason Reeves. All right. If you haven't seen the show before, Quick Takes is a rapid fire Q&A section where we grill our guests on their deepest, darkest secrets that we found on the internet. And
don't say we. Yeah. This is all you.
Yeah, no, we. Kyron came up with half of these. No, I'm just playing. This is just a little section where, you know, we do a rapid fire Q&A. And you got 45 seconds to answer off the top of your head. And this is just to let people get to know you a little bit better. Okay.
Okay.
These are going to be easy, though, because I feel like I already know the answers.
Man, look, don't even go easy. Let's go. I'm ready.
All right. So question number one, Rocky or Creed and why?
Damn, you did not go easy on that one. Creed, because it's black. That's why. But I love Rocky too. I think we need Rocky to get to Creed, and I think Creed is more satisfying once we get there. Because I watch him in succession. I love both franchises and as a whole, but Creed, because it's black, man. Listen, I don't cry in movies, but seeing Felicia Rashad walk into that juvie prison. Take my man out. That I teared up, baby. She ain't had to do that. So Creed all day, every day.
Right in the beginning, man. Yeah, we recently did a ranking of Rocky of the Rocky Creed universe movies, and like TikTok is divided, but the Creed movies are in the top. All three of the Creed movies are in the top five for me. So
rest in peace, Carl Withers.
Yeah, rest in peace, RIP Carl Withers.
Yes.
Okay. In the same vein, then. question number two. The Wiz or The Wizard of Oz? And why?
Come on. The Wiz. Michael Jackson. I just came from The Wiz, from the play.
Apologize to everybody. We don't know what happened. The stream disconnected, so we're trying to re-up everything. So hopefully you guys can join back. We're live. Yeah.
That's what's up.
First time for everything, man. It's
seriously.
These technologies.
Oh, man.
The shadow bands.
It does happen. Okay, so let me jump back in where we were at. We were at on Quick Takes with question three. Question three, this might be actually a difficult one too, because I know you are a collector, but I want to know comic books or action figures and why.
Ha, that is not a hard one, actually. Okay. Comic books.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say action figures.
No.
You already said everything is comic books before, so I don't know why you're surprised.
Action figures are comic books. It's just an extension of my comic book collection. You see them back there. Comic books, because it's my first love, and action figures are dope. Don't get me wrong. I don't actually collect a lot of action figures in that sense. Like, I'm not a comprehensive dude. I only like six scales for my collection. Okay. Because I just like the aesthetic. I like that I can pose them and whatnot. But they're only an extension of comic books and the fact that I have a little disposable income to be able to do it now, right? Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to do it, but I couldn't do it before. And that's just kind of like what I like to do now in my free time. Okay. Whatever that means, because I don't have any of that.
You're right. Whatever that free time is, sure.
Yeah, whatever that
We got one person that says they missed what the answer to question two was because the stream disconnected. So the Wiz or the Wizard of Oz? What was that again?
The Wiz, Kyron. The Wiz.
No, it wasn't me. Don't be saying me.
I don't know if Kyron agrees. I don't know if Kyron agrees with that, but you know, he's a big fan of the Wizard of Oz for some reason. I don't know, but okay. Wow. Question number five. Question number four. I heard a story also about you taking six or 7 months to learn Photoshop, and you had a great mentor who taught you the ins and outs of Photoshop. And I've seen the amazing work you do in digital. So in 45 seconds, if you were going to give some Photoshop tips and tricks, what would they be?
45 seconds?
45 seconds. To teach me Photoshop in 45 seconds.
I guess my first pro tip, patience. Have patience. Second pro tip, tutorials on YouTube are really good. Mohammed, I don't want to butcher his last name, Mohammed Agabdi. Mm. I don't want to butcher his last name. Sorry, dude. But his videos are also instrumental in some of my Photoshop coloring knowledge. And 15 seconds left. Be gracious with yourself. Take time with yourself. And the lasso tool. Learn the lasso tool, man. The lasso tool gets you through a lot of stuff.
Man, I'll tell you, in my small time, like I pride myself in learning a little bit about every area of comic. I'm not a comic book color. I'm not an artist, but I could make do if I needed to. You know, I can at least do some layouts for whatever. But that lasso tool, man, the Photoshop lasso tool is far superior to any other program that I have ever used, whether it's like the Procreate. I won't say Manga Studio or
Clip Studio.
Clip Studio has a good one too.
And if you want to use Clip Studio, you can use Agent of Geekdom's link right here to get Clip Studio and try it out. So, you know, just saying.
Hey, Clip. I'm mainly on Clip now. I'm using a super old version of Photoshop. I'm using CS2. I divested from the whole Adobe thing. Mm-hmm. Clip is much cheaper. I would say that Clip is actually better because they offer you more things, right? Yep. My homeboy, shout out to Rashad. Rashad Doucette, Professor Rashad Doucette of SCAD, is a big proponent of Clip, and he's been trying to get me on Clip for like 5 years. And he finally did, and Clip is amazing.
Told you.
It's Photoshop, but taken to a sort of nth degree for less money. Mm-hmm. And I stay on Photoshop because I'm better at Photoshop in a sense. Maybe not now. Like now I'm good on Clip too, but I keep CS2, my old CS2 version around just in case I have to move back and forth, because there are some things in Photoshop that are just easier. I'm way faster at, but Clip is, man, do Clip, y'all. If you just starting out, anything that applies to Photoshop, more high-strung dude over here monitoring us.
What in the world? Wow.
We've been doing this for almost 3 years.
Right.
And we've never had this issue.
That's weird, man. Okay, let's get the last question. Let's get the last question and let's get the outro so we can. Man, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on, man.
I feel like I should be apologizing to y'all because it's about the home.
No, you can't be. No,
wait. 2 weeks ago, he was supposed to be on the show. We forgot. So maybe it is something with him. It's just the universe telling us not to talk to Jason.
No, man, no. We're going to get these. We're going to get these. The universe. We're going to get these connections, man. No. Dude, okay. So question number five. We always have.
Planets are not aligned or something. That's all.
Mercury's in retrograde.
I'm always out of line.
Yeah, Mercury's in Gatorade or something like that. So.
Listen, I'm always out of line. I feel like it's me. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So, question number five. I do another show called Top Five Live, and I always have our guests do a top five list off the top of their head for this show. So, for you, Because you have the extensive history with the vending machines, I want you to give me your top five vending machine snacks.
God, it's so unhealthy. That's such an unhealthy question. Hot Pockets.
Oh, man.
That's okay. A vending machine snack?
Do I have to go in order?
Nah, you just give me five.
They sell Hot Pockets and vending machines?
Hey, yeah. I would go broke. I would go broke if we had.
I used to sell Hot Pockets and vending machines.
That's wild.
Hot Pockets would be number one, by the way. Okay. Everything else is in no particular order, but Hot Pockets. Angus hamburgers. Mm. Those things that they have at Costco, the chicken cheddar bake things. Those things are dope.
Kind of vending machine.
I know.
I'm thinking it'll be like Snickers, Starburst. Oh, yeah.
Apparently,
he has whole meals in his vending machine.
Extensively enough, because I had a cold machine as well as the. Okay, so you're talking top five. It ain't gonna be chips. No. You know what I'm saying? Okay,
I'm with it. Maybe
Cool Ranch Doritos is in the top five.
Okay,
I throw you a bone. And what is that? How many is that? Three? Is that that's four? Four. That's so four. One more. You know, cookies, like good chocolate chunk cookies.
Okay.
Very, very top five-y.
Nice. Hey, the Hot Pockets. Hey, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on Hot Pockets, man. If we had, so I work at the VA. If I had a vending machine anywhere in my vicinity that had Hot Pockets, I would be dead broke every day.
Listen, that's how I got the California on them Hot Pockets, man.
Hey, ham and cheddar Hot Pockets. Whoa.
Hey. Hot Pockets were the key to my empire.
Yeah, the Hot Pocket Empire.
Hey, man, I got these Hot Pockets, brother. I got these Hot Pockets, baby. Hey, I'm down with it. I love it, man. I'm gonna get you offline to find like the top five like best selling vending machine snacks. Like people have different things in their vending machines, but there's certain things I'm sure sell better than other things. So but man, thank you for being there, man. That was a great list for sure.
Oh, man, no worries.
All right, well, I don't even know what to say with this episode because
before they cut us off again.
Jason, thank you for being on the show. Apologize for Restream having issues, man, but we do appreciate talking to you and taking the time out your day to hang out with us, man.
No apologies necessary. Look, we got to be agile. We got to be flexible.
Did you not hear how Danny and I are complaining that we are both in pain? We are not agile nor flexible anymore at all.
Look, start stretching. Look, I had a thing with my shoulder recently, and I did some PT, you know what I'm saying? And I'm good. So we all gotta make sure we're here. You gotta stay in the game. That's how you become a legend. You stay in the game. Like they got, you know how you see those people out there who wasn't about nothing when you was coming up and now they legends? Not every time they doing a honorary Oscar, whatever, they give it to them. Like, they stay in the game. We got to stay in the game.
All right. Well, we want to make sure all our listeners.
Not say nothing controversial before they cut the thing off.
T-shirt number four, stay in the game. Stay in the game.
Right, we want to make sure all our listeners follow you and keep up with you. So where can people check you out on social media and your website?
133art.com is the hub for anything 133art publishing. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, we're on Blue Sky now. I got an art station page, which I'm pretty proud of. It's where all my concept art lies because I'm trying to get jobs in the film and TV world. Because I need some more money. Art Station, TikTok. We've been rolling on TikTok. Danny inspired me to get on TikTok, by the way. But at 133 Art or at 133 Art Publishing all across social media. Come holler at us. Come see us.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, what? Jason. Hold on. Let me share my screen because this right here. What is this? This Spirit of God? What is this?
Hold on. Hold on.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That's the cover to Visions Volume 2 by MV Media. Milton Davis's company. They do black speculative fiction. I got to do the cover to Volume 2 of that. Yeah, that's what that is.
Jeez. That's dope. Yes.
Without being controversial, we're creating our own gods over here.
Hey, I'm down with it. I'm down with it.
They took our gods away from us when they brought us here, so it's okay to make new ones.
Absolutely. Look,
We're creating that. Creation is important, and we need to put ourselves into everything because there's a gap in what we should know that we don't. Mm-hmm. So insert yourself into everything. It is the natural extension of inclusivity becoming, I think, in my opinion, I guess, in one humble man's opinion. So make you the thing. We have to.
Insert yourself into everything. Shirt number 5.
Is that 6?
That's a five shirts. I got 5 shirt ideas just out of this
one. Danny Rich over here, man. Let's
go. This one show.
All right, Danny. Oh, did you just pee? No, you didn't. Okay. Where can people check you out, Danny? I'm not paying attention to y'all. My wife just passed me a puppy, so I'm not paying attention to you at all anymore. I don't even know where this puppy came from, honestly.
If you're looking for me, the best place to find me is fourthwallpros.com or at the Ace Blade on all social media platforms. And right now, of course, the Bequest hardcover is on Kickstarter. Definitely check that out. Kyren, where can people find you?
With this puppy right now. But
middle somewhere with a puppy. Man.
I really don't know where this dog came from. you can check me out at TaurusComics.com. I am on all social media platforms at Taurus Comics. If you want to maybe check out past episodes of this podcast, you can go to our website, FourTalesPodcast.com. That's the number 4, T-A-L-E-S, podcast.com. You can listen to all our previous episodes, buy some merchandise, things like that. But join us next week. Hopefully, we'll have all these issues figured out. Well, we will have Greg Mulqueen from Sierra Nova Comics on, talk about his upcoming books. But until next time, everybody, sayonara, goodbye, and please take care of yourselves.
Peace. I want to know what it is Quick is trying to say. Oh.